Holy? Yeah. You're all looking strangely happy. I'll try my best not to destroy your happiness this morning. Now, I know some of you have been asking me why, and I will explain why. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? No, you're not noticed. Yeah, okay. I will explain. Let's pray before we open up the word, shall we? Is that a good idea? Yes. Good. I'm in the right place then. So God, we just thank you for this morning and all the blessings that are already unfolding. We thank you for Gary and the team that did the Three Peaks Challenge, Lord. Lord, that they put themselves in a place of testing, but they overcame that test. Yes. But Lord, we pray for the finances to come for this Brazil trip. Because it's not just for Gary, it's for all of us. We stand united, shoulder in shoulder, in our faith. And we say yes and amen to those that God is calling out, not just to people in Butshaw, but to the nations. Let your goodness reign. Let your kingdom come. For your glory we pray. Amen. Good start, isn't it? I'm not sure. All right. I would like to read Mark 5, chapter 21 to 43. Now, I am reading from my new Bible. Thank you very much, church. But it is a NIV. So it's Mark chapter 5. So Mark big 5. And then we're looking for a small 21. Verse 21. Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. So, if you want to follow roughly. If you want to try and stay awake, Gary, that would be... Might be feeling a bit tired. He did well. So it begins. When Jesus had begun... had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was at the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hands on her, so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," the disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace, be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion, the people crying and wailing loudly. And he went in and he said, "Why is all this commotion and wailing? The child isn't dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and said, into the house and said to her, I'm not going to try and repeat this, but Talitha Chom, I imagine that's how it's saying, which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. So last week, for those that were here, and I think it's on the website, I was speaking about faith. And we talked about how God moves, he's moved by our faith and not our emotions. That God is moved by our faith and not our emotions. We also said that faith starts out before you know how things are going to turn out. Faith starts out before you even know what things are going to look like. And we also said that it's not going to be our plans, our programs, or our strategies that is going to bring lasting change to us and those that meet, but it will be our faith. So this week I would like to look and reflect on these two stories of two people in the Bible that kind of collide together in one very intense situation. But before I do that, I just want to go back into chapter 4, because it's the famous story where Jesus calms the storm. So this has happened just before he's really got to see Jairus and the nameless woman. And in the story, it's a very famous story. You get Jesus saying, "We're going that way. And for us to go that way, we need to get in the boat. Let's go to the other side." So they all pile in the boat and they set off sail over the sea. And most of you know what happened is that the waves started to kick up, a storm brewed, and the waves started to crash into the boat. And they started to panic. And where was Jesus? He was asleep. He was asleep. And they woke him up. "Master, Master, don't you care? We're going to drown." And Jesus stood up and he quieted the storm. He commanded the storm to be still. And he said this, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Why are you so afraid? The waves were crashing. Their lives, as far as they were concerned, were in danger. But you notice how Jesus isn't moved by that. And he stands up and he calms the storm and he questions their faith. I think it's important just to reiterate this, because last week I said God is not moved by our emotions, but moved by our faith. And that might seem harsh. What I am not saying is God doesn't care about your emotions. I am not saying that. Because God cares about you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. So it's a no-brainer. Your emotions matter, but he will not be moved by them. He won't allow your emotions to dictate his character. It's your faith in him that will change the situation. It's your faith in him that will calm the storms that you face every day. So before I carry on, I've got a question. Is there anything that you're afraid of this morning? Is there something in you where your emotions are playing havoc? I will come back to that in a bit. So who is Jairus? I hear you ask. Thank you. Jairus in the Bible was the father of a 12-year-old girl whom Jesus raised from the dead. Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue of Capernaum. So he was well known. He was a well-known religious leader. Jairus came to Jesus, pleading with him to come lay his hands on his daughter, who was near to death. He humbled himself before Jesus, falling down at his feet. Jairus expressed his faith in Jesus' ability to heal his child, and Jesus followed him to his home. Now, can you just imagine this character, Jairus, a religious leader, an upstanding citizen? He would have been looked upon. He would have been trusted upon. People would have seen him and known where he worked. He was part of the synagogue. He was there to oversee and bring God's laws and rules to the people and to guide people in the scripture. So you've got a man of stature who's in a place of desperation. His 12-year-old daughter is at death's door. And he was willing to put that aside because he humbled himself. And he saw Jesus and he saw the opportunity for his faith to be put in Jesus and Jesus to heal his daughter. And it says he fell at his feet. Now I just want you to picture that. Picture someone that you have seen or know of who will be the last person to fall at Jesus' feet. It'd be like seeing Boris Johnson fall at the feet of the cross and humble himself before God, prostrate, mumbling like an idiot, because he is one. But that's what it was like. An upstanding leader, a man of stature, when he met Jesus, fell at the feet of Jesus. He was desperate, but he also had faith, and his faith moved him towards Jesus. His faith brought humility and brought him to his knees and begged, "Master, please, you're my final and last hope. My daughter's dying. I can't do anything, but I believe you can." Then Jesus went and healed his daughter. Before they managed to get to Jairus' daughter, he received news that his daughter had died. And we read in verse 36, it says, overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Because Jesus was moved to do something by the humility and faith of Jairus. But instantly he was met with a crowd that just was throwing doubt everywhere. "Don't bother him. He's too late. It can't be done." And then Jesus again pinpoints the actual message of what they were seeing. They were spreading fear. Fear, it gripped them all. "Don't be afraid. Believe, have faith." So let's go to the other end of the spectrum. The one who we know as the nameless woman. What do we know about the nameless woman from the scriptures here? It said she had suffered 12 years from bleeding. 12 years of suffering. She spent everything that she had to bring the bleeding to the stop. She trusted the doctors. She sold all her possessions. But she was also a social outcast because of her afflictions. And let me explain why. I'm going to have to go back into the New Testament, Old Testament, sorry. You don't have to follow me in this, but I want to read this because it's important to understand what this woman was facing on a day-to-day basis. And this is from Leviticus chapter 15, verse 19 to 23. And I apologize, women, that I'm a man. I think I've got off easy. But let me explain why. When a woman has a regular flow of blood, the impurity of her monthly period will last 7 days, and anyone who touches her will be unclean till the evening. Anything she lies on during the period will be unclean, and anything she sits on will be unclean. Anyone who touches her bed will be unclean. And they must wash their clothes and bathe in water, and they will be unclean to the evening. Anyone who touches anything she sits on will be unclean. They must wash their clothes and bathe with water, and they will be unclean to the evening. Whether it is the bed or anything she was sitting on, when anyone touches it, they will be unclean till the evening. So not only has she suffered the pain of bleeding, not only has she put her trust in doctors and spent all her money, because of this affliction, she was a social outcast. She couldn't do the normal things because the law states that if anyone even touched her, they would be made unclean. And if they were unclean, they weren't able to go to the synagogue to offer their offerings to make themselves clean. Or they have to run home and have a bath and wash the clothes. How would you feel if you were that woman? That if anyone touched you, ugh, disgusting. She would probably have been bullied, trampled on. But still, even after all that, her faith moved her. She was willing to take that chance, knowing that if she touched Jesus, this godly man, he would be unclean because of her affliction. That's how far she was willing to go. Amazing faith that she was willing to be a person who would stand out against all that affliction. Never mind the pain, never mind the loss, never mind everything else. Just think about that for a second. What faith that woman had. Amazing faith. But when the woman receives healing, we read in verse 33 in Mark. Let me go back. Bear with me a minute. Yeah. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at the feet of Jesus, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Again, Jesus calls out the faith of this woman. It was your faith that caused the power of God to leave me. And I felt it move, daughter. And I bless you. But I'm not just going to bless you with the healing. The fear that you have been walking in, of being a social outcast, of having nothing, I'm replacing today with peace. The peace of God. The wholeness of God. So let's just draw these two characters together and kind of define two completely different people and how their stories intertwined. Both of them came to Jesus in desperation and suffering. Very, very different examples. A woman who had served the affliction of bleeding and being a social outcast. A man of stature whose daughter was at death's door. Both of them came to Jesus in faith, even though it was social suicide. They weren't willing to let what other people thought about them get in the way. How do we work against that? Both of them humbled themselves before Jesus. They fell at his feet. It says in the Bible that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. If Jesus turned up this morning, really turned up, it says in the Bible, every knee will bow. And it won't be a choice. His presence will push your face to the floor. The weight of his majesty will be so overwhelming that we'll be struggling to even move. I truly believe that. But that day hasn't come yet. It will come, but it hasn't come. The beauty about this story is that these two different people chose to use faith and chose to come in humility. How much humility do we see in the world today? How much humility do we carry? Jesus replaced fear with peace. He takes our fear and he replaces it with peace. Shalom. The wholeness of God. And healing came for both people. So, I'm going to answer the question. Not the first question, but the first question, which you probably all thought, Gavin, why are you wearing a collar? Why? And that's a good question, because it's pretty tight, I tell thee. And what you can't see, I've had to have a bit of tape in the collar to stop the thing popping out. Well, the world will tell us that we have to be faster, thinner, richer, better, that we need more things. We need that hair growth product. Sorry, Gary. It wasn't. We need that new gadget. We need a new car. We need a bigger house. We need a better job. We need a better family. We need. But the Christian message doesn't say that. It speaks about faith and peace and humility and healing that has been paid in full by Jesus. It has been paid in full. So anyone can freely receive what God has bought for them on the cross. I'm not wearing this collar so people can react to me differently. I'm wearing this collar so they can react to Jesus. I want to wear my faith so people can receive their faith. And I have an opportunity to do that. And I've struggled with it. Taking the office of a church was no small deal for me. And I'm still wrestling with it. But I also understand that I have my own prejudice. I went for a meeting a few weeks ago with a couple of other young ministers, very similar to me, taking up the office, training and learning on the job. And a conversation that came about wearing a collar, because one of the ladies, a lovely lady, was wearing one. And we commented on it. And both me and another fella said, oh, we won't wear one. No, it's daft. I'd rather be a rebel, stand for what I believe in. And I kind of just laughed it off and forgot about it. But it was a moment of prejudice, if I'm honest. And I was in the car, alone. Well, I wasn't alone, because God started speaking to me. And he said, would you wear a collar for me? I don't. No. Yes. There wasn't much humility at that moment. But there was a bit of fear. Because when God speaks something specific, then you need to answer. And I don't know about you, but when I know God is speaking to me, there is that moment of shakiness inside. Because the God of the universe, he's got his finger on me. And when he says, would you do it for me? Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But the reason why I really feel God was challenging me is because I have been thinking a lot about faith. I've been thinking a lot about how we're going to progress as a church. How you as individuals are going to grow in your faith. But most importantly, what Buttershaw needs is faith. So this is the reason why I've bought this shirt. Because I can wear faith. I can walk amongst the streets. And I might get shouted at. I might get abuse. But I'd rather get that because of my faith rather than nothing. Silence. Or wondering who I am. Or what I represent. But the challenge I want to give to you guys, how can you wear your faith better? Because I know you all have faith. Because you've shared it with me. I see how God is working in your lives. And I know that there's people in your lives that you're desperate to share faith with. And it's been a challenge. But I feel God is asking us to wear our faith. Yes, we can have the plans and programs, and these are good, because works without faith doesn't look like anything. We need plans and strategies, but we can't put them before our faith. If we want to change the atmosphere in here and the atmosphere out there, then we need faith to do that. If you want to see more people coming to Jesus and entering into eternal life in paradise, then they need our faith. They need it for themselves. I want you to wear your faith. I want you to be humble like these two characters in Mark chapter 5. I want you to go against the grain of what the world says, just like these two characters. Completely different, but I think it covers the whole spectrum. So this morning I asked you at the beginning, is there anything that you're afraid of? If there is, then I speak peace in the name of Jesus over your fear. I proclaim in Jesus' name that fear has no hold over you. No matter what it is, there is nothing that the peace of God cannot overcome. Are you prepared to humble yourself this morning? Because I've spoken them words and they might have just bounced off you. And you might need to hear it again because you might need some humility to let go. You might think it's your God-given right to hold on to something like pain and fear. But I want to have a strong word with you and say it's not your God-given right. It's God's right to take that from you because he earned that on the cross. Are you willing to act out of faith no matter what you're facing? Are you willing for your faith to act out before you, before your tongue engages or your brain engages or even your feet move you away from a situation? Are you willing to let your faith act out before you, take control of you, because you've humbled yourself before God and said, I'm yours. All I have is you. Let me be moved by you. Let me speak for you. Let me stand when everyone else is running. Let me speak truth, even in a place of adversity. Where people are throwing stones, maybe not physical, but verbal. Are you prepared to wear your faith for others to see and receive God's peace, life, and love? This is the life that we've been called to. This is the challenge that God has set before us all. And I know I'm setting the bar high. But it's not me. It's God. Look at his word. If you have fear, give it to God. If you're lacking in faith, go to God. Let him remind you of his goodness, his plans and purposes for you and for those that you meet in your everyday life. Do not allow fear to overtake you. Remember the story in the boat. When the waves come and your emotions rise as high as the waves, you have a choice. Do you receive the peace of God and the authority to say no? My faith is stronger than my emotions because my faith is set in Jesus. So I don't know how you want to respond this morning. If anyone has a specific word, or a specific thing that you feel God wants us to do this morning, then I'm open to that. I think it warrants some kind of response. We talk about acting out of faith. If we're just willing to sit in our seats and not move or respond, that's not an act of faith. It'd be fear that's stopping us doing it. Let's just call it out for what it is. Janet.
I just feel this song that's coming to my head, and I shared it with Miles a few weeks ago, but I can't remember what, but it speaks a lot about what you've talked about this morning, and I just think it might be good if you could play it. It's Mercy Me on YouTube, Mercy Me Greater.
So just while Grace is going to find that song, we'll play it in a minute. Let me encourage you in your faith. Gather in small groups, 2, 3, 4s, and pray for each other. Pray that faith will rise. Let's act this into reality. Okay. So we'll spend just a few minutes doing that, and then we'll respond by playing that song, okay? And we'll come together. So let me just pray for you before you get into small groups. God. God. You are good. I thank you that our faith in you is not just something we dream up or make up. But actually our faith in you has changed our lives. It's changed our perspective. It brings us hope. It brings us peace. It brings us power. It brings us healing. It brings us opportunity. It brings new life. And we thank you that even our small faith, we were able to receive so much. So much. But God, we just pray that faith will arise this morning. That we will humble ourselves before you. That we'll choose now to bow the knee before you and say, God, take my fear. I'm sorry where I've run the other way or I've allowed circumstances to overcome me rather than letting my faith in you stand strong so I can be victorious for your glory. So I bless my brothers and sisters this morning with peace and faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So get into small groups.